Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with your host, Calican CEO, Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Dank Discussions. Today, we're joined by Daryl Bester. Daryl is the founder and CEO of Buddy Love, amongst a lot of other projects as well, but also the chairman of the Cannabis Committee for the State of Illinois Black Chamber of Commerce. So thanks for joining us today, Daryl.
Oh, man, that's my pleasure, brother. I'm glad you have me, man.
I'm so grateful. Grateful to have you on. Yeah. You know, been circling around, trying to get a good time. Yeah. I know for a couple months, so I'm really grateful.
Oh, man, yeah. You know, definitely.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about a lot of good stuff here today. You know, aside from your history and kind of you know, what led to Buddy Love, and also the which is really cool, the Cannabis Committee for the Illinois Black Chamber of Commerce. I think that's awesome.
Yeah,
and also talking about other great stuff. You know, in terms of inclusion right in the cannabis industry, which is a huge deal. History of cannabis. We're gonna be talking about ancillary businesses. In terms of that. We'll be deep diving on that, and also talking about the future of cannabis and where we're going with everything. Okay. Right. So we'll be
definitely having
a dank discussion for sure. But I guess, you know, as I say, we'll start off, keep it easy. Yeah. Right. So let our listeners know where you're based out of today.
Oh, man, we are representing Chi-Town, baby. Chicago, Illinois, man.
Chi-Town.
Born and raised. Oh, yeah. Born and raised. Amazing. Oh, yes, sir, man. The Windy City. Well, you wouldn't know that today. It's a beautiful day today, man.
Really?
We don't get many of those in December.
Chicago,
man.
I've only been to Chicago a few times. My wife's, her family's from Chicago. They're born and raised there. So I got to tell you, I got to have like a special jacket for Chicago that's only for Chicago.
That's right.
Like colder.
That's right.
I mean, you know, they live, the rest of the family lives in New Jersey. I'm from LA. So anything cool to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You definitely have to prepare when you step foot in Chi-Town, man, because the Hawk don't play, man. He don't play. He relentless. You know, you discover the wind chill factor. You like, man, what the hell is the wind chill factor? You'll find out quick when you get here, man. So definitely come prepared for the occasion.
What's going on? Why is it so warm there now?
I'd say it's a whole global thing, man. I mean, when you look around the world right now, we're experiencing some things that we haven't seen in our lifetime. You know, it was a couple of days ago, a slew of tornadoes ripping through different places, man. And now you got all these high winds. But you got almost summer-like temperatures in places like Denver, where I just left, and then back home here. Normally, this time of year, we're normally 20 degrees, 10 degrees. Man, we're sitting at 60. That's summer for us.
A lot happening too in the cannabis industry, right? So, I mean, talk to me about the weather in the cannabis industry in Illinois and Chicago, right? I mean, it's been a couple of years now, I think, since adult use got into play. So, tell me about the changes you've seen in the last couple of years and kind of where you guys are holding right now.
It's still holding like it's been holding. Unchanged circumstances. Especially for those of us that are pushing the social equity piece. Mm-hmm. All right. So right now the licenses are still tied up in litigation because they had a first round that went horribly as far as that inclusion taking place. Right. You had like 75 initial licenses that were supposed to be given out, but then it was lopsided numbers. You had one company that was able to get 17 licenses, another 10, and about time you get through, those top big boys with all the dollars had the licenses, and all the little people were left out, you know, wondering and scratching their head and out of a lot of money. So things on the ground here, do we still may not see true ownership into the cannabis space for another couple of years, to be honest. That's just because of the heavy litigation and just trying to get this thing right of being fair across the board.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that sucks that, you know, it just happens like this across the country, really, you know, in terms of social equity And, you know, these kind of predatory loans and then things getting caught up in litigation. You know, I was in San Francisco and at the San Francisco Equity Group there one time. And, you know, I mean, it's they have lawyers on the board and they have, you know, consultants and just to help people navigate. Right. You know, help, you know, black and brown people, you know, kind of navigate through this as they get offers and as they're trying to open up their thing and trying to go through their you know, the application process and everything like that. So because there's just so many, so many opportunities that really are opportunities for, you know, the other side to kind of take advantage of, right? To take advantage of people.
And that's true.
You know, fuck them over, you know.
And that's true. And then even you still look at what they tried to put out there as that olive branch, so to speak, for the ones that have been incarcerated 20 and 30 years, nonviolent offenders on marijuana charges. And you still got that. I just heard a story this morning. Guy is 90 years old, finally getting out of jail after spending 30 years in for a minor marijuana discrepancy and just getting out. Just that. I mean, that's just that's ridiculous how much space is being occupied in the correctional system by these type of offenders who only in their eyes, law breaking thing was them having marijuana on, you know? So do they get an opportunity to get out here now to get a part of that market share? It sounds good when you're doing a pitch, but are there actually steps in place that we can actually see for ourselves that this takes place? And it's not, you know, and by being the chairman of the committee here in Illinois for the Black Chamber of Commerce, that's one of my biggest challenges, really, to figure out a way that we have a legit program for our offenders to get acclimated back into society. And that starts with certain things. First of all, they need a home. They need to have a place of residence. So it's almost taking those baby steps to ensure that you can be back out in society functioning, but now let's give them opportunity to function in what actually put them in jail in the first place and allow them to make the money like they sought out when they were doing, when they did get locked up. If that was the case, they could have got locked up just because they were enjoying the pleasures of smoking one. You know what I mean?
And definitely, you know, as the chairman there, you know, so first and foremost, I mean, it's great that there is a cannabis committee, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that there is a, you know, Black Chamber of Commerce there in Illinois and that they're, you know, but are you seeing that it's just kind of, you know, maybe just something bureaucratic that they're kind of putting in place to try and pretend like they're doing something? Or do you see that there's really, you know, when you're there and you're able to see that people are listening and that the people really want to make a change and you're seeing progress in that regard?
Well, you know what? Because we're in our infancy, because this actual seat just happened 30 something odd days ago, maybe. So it's going to be that thing. What do we do on the outset of now coming in? And that's what we're right now working out details now. I have a great co-chair by the name of Eric Foster, who's out of Detroit, who definitely knows policy and what you should and should not do and actually implementing the right steps to get some of these issues. I mean, that goes from not only social equity. Now you're looking at the C-suite to whereas you see none of people of color or Blacks in these positions. You know, how do we get them there? Because you can't say they're unqualified. They can't be unqualified for something you never gave them the opportunity to do. So how are they going to get this master skill if they're not let in the first place, you know?
I think unqualified means you don't look like the people who usually do it, right? You know,
come on, brother, you already know it. That's right. And even down to funding, what's always our biggest challenge? Capital. You know, how are we supposed to go in to now have a functioning, well, we're going to say dispensary because that's the highlight of what everyone's seeing here. How do you think you're going to go in if you don't have $3 million at your disposal to really set up shop? There's no bank funding. So now you have to look at investors, but then they're not going to do that. They want to go mess with the players that are already got their feet firmly locked in because they can move the ball along and generate that money quicker, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I think a lot of times too, you know, you run in that same issue, right? Where I mean, you know, we all been in a situation, right, where we're out, we're having a drink with somebody, or maybe we're wherever we are, and a deal gets made, right?
Yeah.
It just so happens that, you know, these deals get made when you're hanging out with somebody you know or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, and it's just human nature, subconscious, that we want to work with people who remind us of ourselves, right? Or who remind us of who we used to be. You know, I remember when I was in your position, I remember like that,
right?
You know, so if the investors can relate to the candidate, right? Yeah. I mean, how, you know, that's why these people, they get turned away, or they're kind of looked as just say a prop, you know, as a kind of stand in person until they can kind of dig their claws in. Right. And it's not, you know, it's just a matter of like, you know, so, I mean, I think that's another thing, right? You know, I think, you know, Black venture capital, you know, Black angels, you know, this kind of thing going on, I think needs to be something else, you know, and it's a shame that it has to come to that. I think, I think sometimes it look people, you know, who maybe not part of the community, maybe getting the idea like, well, why do they get to do, well, you already have your club. You know what I mean? Like, you already have your club. Just don't call it that. It's just, you know, society, you know?
So it's society, like, right. You know? It's the way of life. You know, the rest of us, you know, it's funny you should say that. It's, but that's when that's what an investor looks at, right? They look at the overall, but they're really looking at the lead of that company. You know, do I have faith in you to take my money and make me more money? You know, but that's hard to do if you're not getting past my facade. You're not getting past the skin color. You know, so that's like when I used to do music, man. I say, hey, man, we always need us one good white cat. Because he can walk in and get us
take the introduction
like we can't do. There you go, man.
And do the handshakes and stuff, and you know,
hey, brother, it's still that way today, man. You know, we have just learned how to maneuver the course a little bit better, because the course damn sure hasn't changed. You know, so we learn to adjust, man, and do what we have to do in a space. You know,
definitely, and I guess. Yeah. You know, you're talking about the future of cannabis, right? Do you see that changing? I mean, I mean, honestly, right? We're seeing that, you know, Black and brown men are obviously, you know, been more victim to the war on drugs than anybody else, obviously. And there's a lot of people who want to get into it, and they haven't been able to, even though they deserve to have a shot, right? I mean, do you see this changing? Is, you know, you're saying that it's in the infancy, right? So, I mean, and you're, you know, obviously, Chicago, you know, Illinois has done what they could and kind of botched it. I think just like almost all states, right? I think most states have botched it. There's a, you know, 80-20 probably fucked it up, and maybe, you know, 2 out of 10 they don't
right. But to your point though, there is space, you know, but you have to be open to what's given to you, right? You know, the ancillary side of the industry can be amazing if you get out of the glitz and glamour of wanting to touch the plant, right? Because that's the draw of the plant. But that plant still needs ancillary businesses to move it, you know, to keep it. So right now, banking, that's an issue, right? So a lot of times you're going to need heavy-ended security. Start your security company for cannabis. You know, think about transportation. It still happens. You know, event planning, that still happens. Just like we did, we went the clothing route. We wanted to do premium clothing line, you know, made of majority of our products are made of hemp, you know, still staying true to that plant and our culture that we're building. But you have to take what's offered, well, not what's offered, what's just there and own that space. You know what I'm saying? It's just like what you're doing. You're doing now your podcast, you're owning a space because the talk is there, but you can corner your market, so to speak, in what you're doing and actually talking to people like myself that normal people in the industry probably wouldn't even get a chance to talk to, you know, because they wouldn't know how, you know, but social media allows us that forum that we can get together like this. But you have to see some other ways to get yourself into the industry and make it work for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think you see this a lot. I mean, you know, you see it even in maybe the food industry, right? Where people,
yes,
you know, a lot of people want to own restaurants, not realizing how intensive it is and how consuming it is and how, you know, the investments and the long hours and everything that goes along with it. When you can be somebody that's providing something as simple as pallets, you know, to help them,
with
their, you know, other parts within the industry, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the person who's, you know, providing the napkins, whatever it is, right? That's providing two restaurants and helping them, you know, do their thing, but you're not having to do the same kind of work and that kind of stuff. Why do you think people are drawn to those? So, you know, everybody wants to have that dispensary, right? Everybody wants to have that grow, you know, as opposed to getting into something else within the industry, which is just as great. And you know, the lower hanging fruit, you know.
Yeah, but man, shit, because we know what it is, man. It's the allure of the money. It's always the money, man. They think now this is my chance to have generational wealth, right? Man, we're gonna get in this dispensary, we're gonna do this thing, but the steps to get in, you know, that's what you have to consider. Everything that you have to do to get in. Then once you get in, how do you maintain it? Right. You know, and that's a whole nother, you know, can of worms right there. But, you know, we look at that glitz, man. We seeing what people make. So prime example here on the average taken monthly through cannabis since recreation has been involved, they're averaging revenues of like $128 million a month. You know, we've already passed the billion mark last month in sales here in Illinois. You know, so. Dude, when you hear that, you like, shit, man, how can I get down? You know,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's starting to erupt, you know, but I mean, it's you know, I've talked to so many dispensary owners, so many people who are plant-based, and the sales, the revenue's there, but I've had people on that are like, man, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy because the margin isn't there, right? So you're getting these sales and the cost of operations are just astronomical, know, and the taxes and everything else that goes on with it. And then the continued regulations and the applications and the licenses and everything that goes along with it.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, you see this money, but really, if we really want to make money, it'd be better off in the legacy market, right? You know, and a lot of people are kind of figuring out, they're like, shit, what do I do before I can go down and be doing what I used to be doing?
Man,
is it making better money than it is here?
Exactly. And that's the thing, dude. And that's where I say you have to look outside of the big boy, you know, because just to your point, if you're a young pup coming out the gate, you're not going to make that kind of money out, you know. So you have to add something else to it. You know, you just can't look at, dispensary. I say, fuck that dispensary, you know, and look at other ways to make your money and make your mark, you know, and that means thinking about partnership. Don't look at it as going alone. So like you heard me earlier, I took a trip to Denver because I have some partners out there. They're doing some things and there's a greater opportunity for me to do a dispensary there in Denver. But that shit was amazing to see, man. Damn, every other door was a cannabis place. I'm like, how the hell are you all making money? Yep. You know, that was amazing to me, man, to see. But at the same time, they're all generating some sort of revenue, you know? But the thing was missing was marketing. I couldn't tell one from the other, you know? And you have to find what's going to make you stand out, what's going to make you different, you know? And put your plan together, you know, because it's going to take work. It's going to take work, but you have to figure it out. You know, you have to figure it out and look at the only one I'll always say out the gate, you have some fans of his and you don't, is Burner from Cookies, right? I use him because he took his brand and put it where it's in your face, it's marketable, and now I can cross market this thing as well. You see little kids here in Chicago walking around with cookie bags. And I'm talking about young kids because their mama don't know what cookies is. You know, they just thought it was a cute little bag. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's like even how to cover it up and disguise it to where it's not, you know, blatantly a cannabis brand.
That's what's great though, too, right? Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, you look at my logo, there's a cannabis leaf on it. Yeah. You know, look at your stuff, there's cannabis on there, right?
Yeah.
You know, but you look at these kind of gigantic, the bigger brands, cookies is just blue and white and, you know,
script. Yellow, the scripted, right.
You don't know what it is, you know, then and that's what kind of allows it to go.
That's
mainstream, more viral, right?
Exactly.
It flies under the radar. And you kind of got to do a little bit of research. You're like, what the hell is cookies?
Right. And so that's the thing. That's smart. You know, that's no knock on what the brother is doing. That was actually smart. That opens up a lot of door because it's not harsh. And you just like to your point, you got to do your homework on it to find out, okay, what the hell is this? You know? And once you find out, oh, damn, there's a cannabis company. Well, Lil Johnny's wearing this shit now. I can't take it from him. You know, so he's going to still rep a brand. That's a cannabis brand, but you wouldn't know that if you didn't do your homework, you know? And that's what I think. We have to be smarter on our packaging, our marketing, and how we move through the space to make it feel comfortable. You know, that's the one thing I could say with Buddy Love. It's not that aggressive how cannabis can be sometimes. Or it's a fun, feel happy. It's like, oh shit, he got a leaf in the middle of that shit. They got a heart and they happy. Yeah, that's why we say probably the best love in the world. You know, and you can't beat that. You know, you can't beat that. So,
No, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, ancillary business and how to get into that.
Before
that, you know, I want to hear about your story, right? Tell me about your story, your history with cannabis, and kind of, you know, walk me through your entire history with cannabis and kind of up to present day with Buddy Love.
Oh, man, definitely, man. I really got involved, man, late in the cannabis, man. I was going through a lot of chronic injuries from playing football back in my early heydays. And then at the same time, my wife was battling cancer, you know, one that they were saying that she would never, you know, this is what she's going to carry with her, you know, but now she's 5 years in remission, thank God, you know. So that actually got me looking into the industry. And as far as it was really going into CBD first and actually looking at the relief that it was giving, then it started making me look into cannabis more. So I wanted to go and get educated. So that's what I did. So I went out to Cannabis Training University. Shout out to them boys for a great program, you know. So went through their program and really learned the nuts and bolts of cannabis, you know. So from A to Z type of deal, because I was a layman. I wasn't a kid that smoked bud when I was younger playing ball and all that. It was
that
away from drugs.
Because of football, you would like...
Yeah,
you're into it. You didn't want it to fuck your shit up, right? You didn't want to get
exactly
scholarship or whatever else, you know.
Yeah, so you know, so you just stayed away. But then I said, as it got over, like I said, man, I got tired of opioids. I got tired of walking around feeling lethargic and all that. My buddy suggested, he said, "Hey, man, when we start getting close to our 50s, let's just start smoking. Let's try the shit out." I said, "Fuck it, why not, man? We here, let's do it." Got into it, man. And I'm a guy that I used to do music for 20 years as well, but I drank mostly. Hennessy was my friend. So I kept Hennessy on supply. But man, after I started getting into cannabis and then getting into the different strains and how they make you feel, dude, I was like, man, I wasted all my fucking great youth. I should have been smoking this shit long time ago. So it was just that whole experience, man, as a newbie coming in and really learning and absorbing the plant. That's when I said, man, I got to get in this industry somehow. You know, I got to figure this out. I said, man, if I ever did a company, man, I'm going to name it Buddy Love, man. That's the best way. You sitting with your homeboy, because I thought of my friend. I wouldn't have did it if it wasn't for him. Like, hey, man, let's do this. You passed it. And we shared this commonality together, this camaraderie. And it was just a great thing. And so I was like, that's what I'm going to call the company. I'm going to call it Buddy Love, man. And we're going to go from there. We'll see what we come up with, man. And I learned how to start cooking and infusing foods and really starting to get the flavor and knowing what terpenes I can use. And that pushed me along into now, let's get into this ancillary thing. Because here in Illinois at the time, I missed the window as far as going out for a license to get, you know, acclimated, which it didn't matter because they still don't have their license anyway. So I said, hey, I told my team that actually I started building. Hey, we're going to go another route. We're going to go CBD. We're going to go health and wellness because people are living longer. They're tired of opioids and they want to do something different. And also really sought out some vendors that could help me create some nice products. From topicals to coffees, teas, your typical edible bunch. And man, we're going to really push this health and wellness thing. And I said, hey, I need something else. because I can't write that shit off on taxes. Hey, we're going to start a clothing line. And we call it Buddy Love Apparel. And we, and the whole premise behind that, we're going to make all our shit, our premium stuff out of hemp. And I, damn, out of hemp. Yeah, the plan itself. Went that route, man. Started setting up that company because I had experience doing that, because I already have an apparel company that's doing it all right. And so we started going in that route, man. And then from there on, I just started looking at, look, you know, I could really make money without touching this damn plant. And that's what's been happening, man. And but now I got an opportunity to touch the plant. I'm going to take it. You know, it's not like I don't want to touch the plant. I just won't be doing it here in Illinois, you know. So, yeah, so that's basically, that's the round backdrop of Buddy Love and how that started. And shouts out to my business partner, the Miss LaVita Burns. And she's been rolling with me since we was doing music back in the day. And we just doing something different these days, man. So it's been good so far.
3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, lift off.
We at Calican are passionate about cannabis and CBD marketing, branding, SEO content, and web design. If you are a cannabis owner and you know you need an uptick in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us today.
Amazing, amazing. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, in terms of, you know, so it just kind of started off as, well, we want to do this, but it's applications, everything going on. So we're going to start some CBD stuff, but might as well sell some stuff on the side as well. A little good for the for the banks and everything like that, you know, bank salmon and they're like
Right. Exactly.
I mean, so talk to me about the importance of ancillary businesses within the industry, right? I mean, we have one, you have one, you know, where can somebody start? Right. I mean, I think, you know, we've had somebody, we've had people on before who are doing social equity based hiring, right. HR companies and stuff.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. But where does somebody start in that regard? Right. Is it just like, oh, I'm going to start a clothing company too, or how do you, because I think you mentor and you manage people as well, right? So
Definitely, man. I try to basically find out, man, what you're passionate about. I think, man, the longer you get the opportunity to live, the more you have to start appreciating the life you have been given, because at the end of the day, you know, once you're incepted in this world, there's only one thing left to do, and that's to die. You know, so what are we going to do with that piece in the middle? You know, because every day is a blessing, you know, because the end result, we know we're going to get there. We just don't know when. So what are you passionate about? Why waste your fucking time doing stuff that you don't want to do? You know, like me, for one, I hated working for other people. I did it, you know, but I knew it wasn't meant for me, man, you know? So it was always
right there with you, for sure.
Yeah, man. It was always that thing of wanting to be this great entrepreneur, man. Treat people how I wanted to be treated, because on these shit jobs that I had, man, you know, I saw the upper management treat them like they were just plain old, hey, slaves. That's just what you're there for. You're here to do my bidding. You know, I said, do something in this life you're passionate about. And that's where it starts, man. You know, whether if you're cooking, whether you're a seamstress, whether you're an educator, you know, just to your point, in ancillary, there is room for people to teach cannabis, man, to actually educate people about the industry, about the plant. And then from there, I think you figure out what about it can you contribute, or what would make you happy if you couldn't touch the plant. And that's why I always say, start, take the plant off the table, but still think of the industry as a whole. What's needed in that industry still? And just to your point, you know, you can do security. You can do event planning, you know. What else about that community? Accessories. Okay, man, I'm going to start a tray shop, you know, and do these high-end trays that every time you dump an ash on it, the shit glows. You know, I mean, whatever floats your boat in that sense. But there's opportunity. Man, I'm going to make these candles that, you know, as it burns, it absorbs the smoke from when you're feeling it from when you're doing your thing. You know, it's like your mind should be able to go crazy. You know, this is your chance to be Steve Jobs or somebody. You know, think of something, create this shit, pattern it, get it out into the world, and let us do its thing, man. Let it run its course. But it's, I say, first and foremost, find something that you're passionate about within this space, you know, and because everybody's not meant to run a dispensary, you know, because really it is from even the people that I know, they say it's a pain in the ass.
Crazy.
You know, it's man, come on. Even the shit we had to learn. Hey, we had to learn how to prepare if the place get raided, you know, and what to do and how not to fight with the Fed when they come in. You know, you have to learn this shit, you know, and just to your point earlier, the laws change every damn day, you know, and you got to keep up with all this shit, you know? So it's a lot to it. So I say, man, try to find a easy approach to get in it, you know, and I'll guarantee you'll still make a great living. You know, because cannabis is not going anywhere. It's not, you know.
Now, you know, I had, you know, brings up, we had recently on the show, Jay Larkin, shout out to Jay Larkin, you know, from Dry Flower, right? Yeah. So they're kind of ancillary in the sense that, you know, what are they doing now? They're making hangers and stuff for growers, right?
Yeah.
You know, and they, but, you know, we look at them and, you know, he's been in the industry for decades and he knows growing and he knows what cultivators are looking for. And they knows the kind of problems that they face, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
but he had to have so much in-depth knowledge already to be able to even design this product, right? Yeah. You know, to Dry Flower. But, you know, how can somebody... Not everybody maybe doesn't have that kind of background, right?
Yeah.
Not everybody can see, you know, kind of the inside, you know, have an inside scoop on what it is that maybe dispensary owners, right? I think dispensary owners, there's a lot of things that they're facing, right? They're like, shit, if only we had this, it would save us so much time and money.
Of course.
If only, you know, if only we had this or that. That's kind of how it is with the things. Exactly. I mean, what does somebody do when they haven't had that experience, but they want to get into it?
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's the part with not having experience. You still have to go search some things. That's just like when we were coming up as children, we were put into situations. If you want to learn something, figure out what group is going on, because there's plenty of groups in every city you go to now that have round table discussions about how to get into business. And what can you do? And what are some of the things that you can avoid to get in here? It's a ton of groups out here now, as opposed to back in my day when you coming up, we weren't even thinking about this shit. You know, you were still trying to sling it on the block and move out channels.
I mean, it was pretty easy, right? I mean, a couple of decades ago, you know, when I was going, you know, it was just... That was the way, you know.
Yeah,
it's the legacy market and easy to get in the industry, you know. Just get an ounce and flip that and start moving way up, and little by little, you'll be in pounds and you'll go pick that shit up, you know. And
there you go,
Southern California or Oregon or wherever else it is,
or head to those other southern states and do your thing, North Carolina and down the way. You know, and it made it life was easy in that sense, even though that was some dangerous shit you were doing, right?
Yeah.
But now with the day and era when you have people that come up, man, I want to get in this industry. And the first thing I always hear, man, but I really don't know what I want to do. You know, I see it. I see what's happening, but I really don't know what I want to do. You know, and that's just that question that, you know, only you can answer by doing your research, you know, and really seeing, but talking to people, just like we're talking right now, you know, would a regular person thought clothing line for cannabis? No, I mean, you could go in and see like Cookies are trying to push it more these days, you know, but you have other people, they just really have a t-shirt because that's the name of their company. You know, they're not looking at it to make it something more premium, you know. The wear of that industry. And that's how I view shit. You know, it's going to be the wear of the industry. You think it is, oh no, that's for the community. You know, that's what that brand is for. And that's, you have to be definitely purposeful in what you're doing as well, you know, going out. And like I said, it's just too many opportunities in today's age with social media. I'm about to get a Gary V moment right here. What do we want to do in the industry? Google that shit. You know, Google it. You know, it's not hard these days to go on and do research and figure out something shit you can do. You know what I mean? And just figure out how you can do it and keep the cost down. You know, and doing this shit right here, definitely it keeps costs down. You know, you don't have to worry about going in with 100, 200 grand, 300 grand to do some things, grab a product and all that. You can start simple, bootstrap it, you know, and just get it going. You just want to do something that can change your life at some point, but it's still going to take work at the end of the day. And that we can't account for. I don't know the next man's work ethic and what he wants out this world. I know what the fuck I want, you know, to be in San Tropez puffing on one and telling my crew, hey, remember that day we was broke and we were doing this shit? Didn't I tell you we was going to be doing this, looking at this island, all from this shit? So you got to have vision. You got to have vision, brother. You got to have vision.
Amazing. No, definitely. And on that note, right? So what's the vision for Buddy Love now, right? What do you guys have in the future coming down the pipeline?
Man, like I said, really, man, to really push all the brands that we're working with thus far as BLA, which is the acronym for Buddy Love Apparel. We have Buddy Love Wellness. And then, like I said, now I've got a partnership out in Denver with a great group called Do Better Social. So we're doing some things on the social equity piece there. But like I said, we're about to enter that cannabis realm. So where we'll be doing a dispensary and a consumption lounge. So we had this thing with us, it's called the Buddy Love Club. You know, it's going to be an exclusive club where you come in, consume premium cannabis, but it's going to be an atmosphere that kills. So that's coming down the pipeline at a theater near you, my brother.
You know, with Buddy Love and, you know, everything that you've been doing, whether it be Buddy Love Apparel, Buddy Love Wellness, what's been the biggest obstacle that you faced?
Man, it's always going to be funding, man. It's always funding these projects, man. It's only so much I can bootstrap, you know. But my thing is, through trial and error, you figure out how to mold that business. And what your needs are, and you're creating something that others want to be a part of, right? And so that's what I've done thus far in a short period of time. Now, Buddy Love has only been around a year, okay? It's not like we've been around for eons and shit. It's just a year old. But in that year's time, man, I've been able to bring on investors, people that see the vision, and outside partners, out of people I didn't know and just met. We're working on some things, man. And that's just in a quick turnaround, you know? So to me, hey, the sky's the limit, you know, and what will be coming from Buddy Love, man. It's just, I stick to my plan. I drew on a piece of paper with a diagram that said Buddy Love at the top. And I started marking all these legs of where the other parts of this business can go. And I just start circling and start initiating each one. Because like I said earlier, you got this middle piece of life, brother. You know, I got to live it now. there's nothing. My mom had a great saying I wrote in my book. My mom used to say, the weight breaks the bridge. Get across and show them what you can do. And not your body weight, but you're actually waiting. What are you waiting for to change your life and move out here and do what you need to do? And man, that's how I roll every day. You know, that's how I roll every day. Yeah.
Definitely, like you said, you know, we all know how it's going to turn out. You know, it's just this middle this middle period, you know, 70, 80, 90, 100, 120 years, hopefully, of time that we have in here, right? What are we going to do with that? So
Exactly.
Right. So, I mean, in terms of ancillary businesses, right, and specifically with Buddy Love, you know, obviously there's a lot of cannabis apparel companies, right? I don't have to tell you that, right? There's a lot of wellness companies out there. I don't have to tell you that, right? So what makes Buddy Love memorable amongst, you know, amongst the industry? And what are you guys doing to kind of separate yourselves and get yourselves out there?
Yeah. And that's all, it all comes down to awareness, man, being authentic to who you are. A brand should mean purpose, right? Your brand is your purpose. It's what you stand for. How do you ignite the flame in others that see you? So it all starts, first of all, eye contact. You know, how does that brand look? When I see that, is it a draw, right? Now I'm going into marketing 101. You know, is it a draw? Is it appealing? Okay, yes. Two, now what's next? What's your story? What's your purpose? You know, basically you're trying to create an environment that is all about sharing the love. And what do we mean by that? That anybody can come in a room diverse room of people, and we can all have a common goal. But that one thing that brings us together in the cannabis industry is what? That little piece of weed that we puff and hand to the next. That loosens up any room. You're having conversation, and it's not about the color of our skin, right? So we take that same measure and that same flow of how do we move and spread this message across the masses that, man, this type of sharing is needed for us to prosper even further as human beings and mankind. So the main thing is, it's not technically about the brand. It's really about bringing people together for a higher purpose to do some great things. You know, as a friend of mine said with his company, to do better in this world, you know? And so with that in mind, we just push that message constantly, man. We push that message and tie it to great products. And with that combination, man, you'll want to become our buddy too. We say our buddies, man. So you want to become our buddy too, man. So we can all continue to share this love.
Very good. Very good. No, yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, pushing awareness, brilliant, building the brand, you know, and, you know, I think that's kind of the key. I think people, they, you know, you've been doing it for a year, right? And still kind of in the earlier stages, right? You would say yourself, you know, and I think people, they kind of want things to happen overnight, right? They kind of want, you know, if you build it, they will come, you know?
Yeah.
We had our release. We had our launch, you know, and then it's like cricket. And it's like, you know, you're like, trying to figure out what can we do over here to get this thing going, you know?
Exactly.
And, realize that it's going to take months for stuff to kick in. Maybe even years for stuff to kick
in. Yeah, dude. And that's the truth.
For the year, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. To your point, I had a buddy where I was doing some film stuff, man. And he said, man, we're going to do this stuff, man. We're going to create this website. And bro, I'm telling you, they're going to come. I'm like, dude, it's going to take more than a website, brother. Trust me in this. What's our marketing strategy? What's our marketing plan? Mm-hmm. Who are we targeting to be a part of this so-called site you built? You know, and like, it's just you. It takes time. It takes patience. I definitely have to say that, man. I learned that the hard way with building my other business. It's patience, man. Patience and really understanding what it is you want your customer base to know about you and to make them feel comfortable to now become this regular and become a part of your ecosystem, right? Nike does that very well. You know, you have loyalists that's going to rock the brand no matter what. I used to be that way with Adidas. You would never catch me out without a fresh pair of three stripes on. I had to rock the shell toes. I was going to do that. But you start to resonate when you start really thinking about it and you're doing the math. Like, really? They got that goddamn shoe in China? That was $3. But now I'm paying $150 for the same shoe. What am I paying for? It's the name. You're paying for what they offer. You're paying for the experience and what they're telling you, who they are as a brand that makes you feel drawn to it and feel a part of it. I don't have a problem spending money because I feel that same way. That's what you're trying to create, man. You're trying to create this lifestyle, you know? And some people don't get that part of it. And that doesn't, to your point, that does not happen overnight. You have to work hard and build that, man, because you're trying to earn people's trust and believing in your brand and staying consistent. You know, you're going to have some times where you're not as fucking consistent, you know, but what do you do to rebound from that? You know, that's being truly a company of integrity. You know, and going out to rectify what you have done to show these people you have their best interests at hand each and every time, you know?
I love it. Love it. You know, you know, as you're moving forward, everything, right? I mean, you know, you have a lot of experience, obviously, you know, with the marketing side, with apparel and everything else is going on. Right. But, you know, so, you know, just as a Daryl, right. How do you define success? Right. What does success look like for you, whether it be personally, professionally, spiritually, otherwise?
Yeah. Man, for success, man, the at the end of the day, success for me is freedom. And what I mean, the freedom to do whatever it is that I want to do in this world, you know, with my family, with my friends. And in order to do that, I have to take time, understand my craft, and become the master at that craft. But in being the master, does that mean I have to be the expert at every phase? No, man. It takes a solid team, you know? And that's the one thing I've garnered over these years. The right partnerships can put you in an atmosphere that you never even imagined. But you have to be willing to be able to have those type of relationships, first of all. And then once you're able to do that, there's nothing you can't accomplish, man. So with that in mind, man, we're trying to build that right system for whereas I know I'm going to obtain my freedom because I'm doing all these steps. And that's even doing the simple thing right now, having this conversation with you. You know, I could have been like, oh, who is this guy? I don't know this fucking guy, man. Why the fuck would I waste my time talking to this dude?
I'd say that if I was talking to me, I'd say the same shit.
But that is not my fucking way of doing things, man. Because I say, hey, look, I could come to your hometown, your home city, man. We meet up, dude. It will be like we've been knowing each other forever. Because that's how I feel like you should treat people. And once you do that and it's reciprocated, dude, that works wonders, man. You know, that works wonders because what happens now? It's that word of mouth. He said, man, I never met that motherfucking D, but he a cool motherfucker, man. And that means a lot to me because I'm just being me at the end of the day, you know, no strings attached, nothing. So that's success in me, to be able to live this kind of free life, man. That's what it is. That's what it's about, man.
I think freedom, that's something. You know, obviously as entrepreneurs, it's something that's super attractive to us. But I think the word gets misunderstood sometimes because I think people look at freedom as being, I can do whatever I want whenever I want.
Right.
But everybody knows that being an entrepreneur is almost the opposite, right? You know, you have the freedom to make your own decisions and live by your own rules. At the same time, you live by the sword kind of thing, right? No one's going to have to work harder than me in my own business. Yeah. You know, another Gary Vee, right? I mean, work harder than the owner, right? And you can't expect him to work harder than you because it's my baby. It's my baby. I should care more about it than anybody, right? But so I think people think that freedom is, I'm just going to start this thing and it's going to be a turnkey business and I'm just going to like chill out and drink pina coladas by the beach.
That's not that thing, man. Your point, dude, this is, I've said it on many a day doing private recordings. An entrepreneur's life is one of the loneliest things you can go through because there's so much that you do on a daily basis just to maintain, you know. I mean, that's why you had an extremely high rate of suicides among CEOs. Why? Because all the stress, all the pressure, because it's not about them. They're looking at now the people they got working for them. Man, I got to keep roofs over their heads because I'm helping feed their families. So you're taking on a whole shitload of things as an entrepreneur because you're trying to change not only your life, your landscape of life. Dude, you're affecting others as well. And if that doesn't sit with you, then shit, you're just a fucking robot. You know, that bothers me even with my little team. Man, I got to be on this, man. I don't feel like doing this interview today, but this is going to help because this is now still pushing the brand. You know what I'm saying? From the smallest things to large astronomical things, you have to be willing to sacrifice yourself for the greater good, brother. You know, period. If you're not willing to do that, you'd never be an entrepreneur. You'd never be an entrepreneur.
And that also speaks on your other point, right? You know, having a team. I think people they think entrepreneurship is, you know, they want to be solopreneurs.
Yeah.
Not really entrepreneurs. You know, entrepreneurs. Yeah. They, you know, a lot of times I heard Bill Gates say, right, why am I so successful? Because I'm lazy. I always wanted to find the easiest way to do things, right? So I was always looking for more efficient ways to do things, you know, and to get jobs. And I think that's what true entrepreneurs do is I think so many times they want to do everything. They want to wear all the hats.
Right.
It's so much better to have that team in place. It's so much better to have, you know, someone being able to delegate and knowing who's good at what, because I'm not good at everything. Exactly. That's for sure.
Man, come on, man.
So, I mean, I enjoy doing what I get to do, but, you know, you ask me to do certain things, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I suck, you know? So, my place.
Dude, I say that every fucking day, brother. It's, dude, I can't do it all, you know? It's like, here, you got to do that. You got to just let me stay here, you know? And that's the thing. It's not to say I couldn't do it. I don't want to do it, you know? I'd rather do this part of the business. This is where I feel I'm great at, you know, this right here. That's why you like my partner. You'll never see her. She doesn't do this, what I'm doing right now, you know? So yeah. you have to know your skill sets and what you do, you know, as my man said for taking, I have a certain set of skills that I use when I have to use them, you know? So this thing, a business goes as far as their leader does, man. If you're killing off your business because you're self-absorbed and you're not willing to get out here and get the best people that do what they do best to work with you, your business is going to fail, man. It's that one person, you're not going to get over that hump. You're not going to knock that wall down with the diamonds. And especially in this cannabis industry, you cannot, I repeat, you can't do this shit alone. You know, am I a master fucking grower? Hell no. You know, but I can get in there and know what a plant, what it look like, what it's supposed to feel like. But man, I kill that bitch within the first 3 days. That's not me. You know, that is not what I do. So I need to bring somebody in that does that. You know, I need to bring somebody in that can manage that whole operation. That's not my thing. Even though I've come from supply chain, I don't want to do that. You know, I'd rather be in the seat to figure out how we move this thing along, but get the key players that's going to make that business great, you know? And that's the thing. And that's the thing with cannabis too. I mean, we have to touch on that. When you're even going out to start to go look for that license and then start thinking you're going to get in this dispensary business, when you're within that business plan and that executive summary, what is it going to ask you about? Your team. Who's with you? Now you think an investor is just going to come on if it's just you and you have no skill sets and that's it? No, man, you're going to have a loaded team at every position to show that, man, I give you this money. I know this business is going to run, you know? And that's just not going to happen with you and your cousin Leroy. You know, that ain't going to happen. You know, you're going to need some more qualified people and some slots to get some things done, you know?
No, definitely. You know, so a lot of work that needs to be done. A lot of great stuff. So, I mean, you know, as we close, you know, you've done a lot of great stuff yourself already. So excited to see the journey to continue. You know, I appreciate you coming on.
Definitely.
As we close, how can listeners find out more about you? Find out more about Buddy Love Apparel, Buddy Love Wellness, and also Do Good Social, right? So and connect with you and get your products and everything like that.
Oh yeah, man, definitely. If you're on LinkedIn. Then under Daryl Bester, that'll tag you to everything, man, to the stores and all that. On IG, it's under Buddy Love LLC, and that's Buddy Love LUV LLC. And you'll find me, you know, you'll find everything about the brand. Yep.
Very good. So cool. And everybody check out the links here on either on the show notes on the website or wherever you listen to this podcast. This should be there'll be information here and links for you to follow as well. So, dude, Daryl, I appreciate you. You know, you're the man, and thanks for jumping on with me today. And everybody, wherever you're listening, appreciate you listening, tuning in. So good luck to you the rest of the year and beyond.
Yeah, man, my man, dude. You are the man, brother. I love you, man.
Thanks for listening to Dank Discussions. We are so grateful for each and every one of you. Please make sure you subscribe and leave a review. We want to continue making dank content you want to hear, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calican.com. That's grow@calacann.com. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter for our latest updates.